Pittsburgh and beyond. Welcome to episode 10 of Yins Are Good. We're getting into the double digits here. I love it. Yins Are Good is a podcast that asks Yins to share your stories of times when someone changed your life for the better. I am your host, Tressa Glover. And our goal, our mission, if you will, is to celebrate with gratitude all of the good stuff happening out there and the good people who are making it so. So this episode is being released on December 14th, 2020. We have entered another dark period here of the coronavirus and its spread. Pennsylvania, among other states, has mandated further closures and further restricted public and private gatherings. And so these, of course, continue to be difficult times. I hope you're all doing okay. And I want to thank you all for listening as you have, for contributing your stories and your thoughts. You know, when I go to our Facebook page in particular, I love this little community that has developed there. Just so many of you posting your thoughts and responding to each other's thoughts. And I just hope that this lifts your spirits and reminds you that you're not alone, that we are all in this together. Speaking of that Facebook page, I posted another fill in the blank since our last episode. I posted it there and on Instagram. And it was, I want to thank blank for blank. And many of you responded. And so I will be sharing your poignant and also entertaining thoughts today. And we also have more happy holiday memories. Hooray! So I will be sharing those as well. Now, if you don't hear yours today, do not panic. That just means that this was recorded before we received it. So tune in next time. I assure you, you will be there. And a reminder, of course, to call us and email us with a story of when someone somehow made your life better. We actually haven't received any for a couple of weeks, and that's okay. It is totally okay. But if you've been thinking about it, not sure if you want to, go ahead, give us a call. 1-833-399-GOOD. Or, of course, that email address, yinsaregood, all spelled out, at gmail.com. Also featured on our show today is an interview with, actually, here's a story that made my life better about this. So on Instagram, we follow Sprezzatura, which is a heritage-inspired Italian cafe and catering restaurant in Millvale. And this was, I believe this was the day before Thanksgiving. And I saw this post that Sprezzatura had put up. And it was a post of gratitude. And by the end of reading this, I was just tears in my eyes. I was so moved by it, you know, as first just as a person. And then I thought, wow, this is the epitome of what Yins Are Good is about. It just expressed how so many people have been helping so many people and the gratitude for that and all the different ways of helping each other out and being there for each other. And I said, I got to get in touch with the author of this post. I got to get in touch with them and ask if they would come on the show and read the post and then also talk about all of the just incredible things that Sprezzatura is doing in and for their community. So funny enough, as I'm looking into, okay, let me find out who to contact here. So the owner, the proprietress of Sprezzatura, I know her and didn't realize I knew her. Jen Saffron, So I've known her for several years. We first met through the arts scene in Pittsburgh, and I saw that it was her, and I thought, oh my gosh. So we had such a lovely conversation, and she did read her post to share with you all, and so that is coming up in the episode as well. And now I think I'm done with all the talking. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's fill in the blanks, shall we? I want to thank blank for blank. Barbara says, I want to thank all the healthcare workers who have put themselves on the front lines to care for others. Agreed, 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 Barbara. From Doug, I want to thank the universe for waking up today. Tony says, I want to thank God for everything and everyone I have. From Miracle, I want to thank my doggie for loving me unconditionally. They are the best at that, aren't they, dogs? From Barb, I want to thank Biden for Kamala. Jean says, I want to thank God for blessings. Joseph, I want to thank God for everything. From Debbie, I want to thank my parents for having me first. So Debbie is my older sister. Isn't she adorable? Well, yeah, she's my older, much older sister. There, thanks so much for participating, Deb. We have from Cindy. I want to thank you for letting me be myself again. Written exactly as the title of that classic song by Sly and the Family Stone. Thanks, Cindy. From Cookie, I want to thank you for being you. Thank you so much for that. And from Carrie, I want to thank Myron Cope for inventing the terrible towel. Yes. Now, let's move on to some of those happy, warm holiday memories, shall we? Filling in the blank here, when I think of the holidays, a memory that always makes me smile is from Jennifer. From about 8 years old forward, my mom used to wake me up from my lovely pre-mass nap. My brothers got to sleep, not me, before midnight mass to make Irish cream liqueur with her. Then we'd drink some, then go to midnight mass. No wonder I always felt woozy. Oh, that's a good one. From Kim L. Riding with my grandparents and siblings during the 60s to look at the beautiful light displays in different neighborhoods. Oh, we used to do that too. With my parents, we'd all get in the car and do the same thing. Sandy says, our wedding on December 27th in 1969. Ah, so nice. From Doug, drawing roses with my niece. Regis says, family and friends, food and good times. Eleanor says, when I think of the holidays, a memory that always makes me smile is my son. From Tammy, new PJs on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with all the gifts, food, and family. Dominique adds, family, gifts, and good food. There's a theme here, isn't there? Lovey says, my mom decorating and gospels that I still do, and going to a different aunt's, partying till daylight every night till New Year's Day. I had eight. And of course, the family grab bag because there were so many of us. Lovey, we did the same thing. Actually, both sides of my family, Irish and Italian side, because there were so many on each side. We always had a grab bag with like my generation, right? My cousins, and then our parents, they had their own. Oh, such good memories. Such fun times. As always, thank you all for sharing all of this and connecting us all together. Yinz are good. And now it's time for Name That Neighborhood.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Tressa.
Round 10.
Has it been that long?
I know. Can you believe it?
I cannot. We're in double digits.
We are. That's exactly.
And they said it wouldn't last.
And here we are. So your neighborhoods of choice this day are Brookline, which is where one of our listeners' stories, where they're from, and Millvale.
Okay.
Which is where Sprezzatura is.
Okay.
So your choices are Brookline or Millvale. And I believe you know the rules at this point.
I think I do.
Are you ready to begin?
I think I am.
Let's do it. Number one. This neighborhood is home to St. Nicholas Roman Catholic Church, which was the first Croatian parish in the United States.
I don't have any flashy explanations for this one, but I'm just going to guess Millvale.
Correct! I love it. You're starting off very well. So, St. Nicholas Roman Catholic Church. First, it's on the National Register of Historic Places, but it's noted mostly for its 25 walled murals that were painted by Croatian artist Maximilian Vanka. And yeah, he painted them in the 1930s and 40s. And the murals actually tell the story of the Croatian peasants who left their native farmlands at the turn of the 20th century to seek a better life here in the post-industrial United States of America. These murals also capture Vanka's strong belief about the futility of war and his sadness about the destruction of his motherland.
Oh.
And apparently when he finished the work, he declared, quote, "These murals are my contribution to America, not only mine, but my immigrant peoples who are grateful like me that they are not in the slaughter of Europe," end quote.
Wow.
And that is all according to the Vanka Murals website.
Gotcha.
How about that?
There's some of those people were in my family. I'm part Croatian on my dad's side.
Yeah. How about it? All right, well done, one for one. Mm-hmm. Keep this party rolling. Number two. This neighborhood sits atop what was once known as the Oak Mine.
The Oak Mine. Well, let's go with Brookline because it rhymes with Oak Mine.
Correct! Whatever the reason, it's right. Nice. So it is true. And there were actually a series of oak mines stretching from Brookline to Castle Shannon. And so underneath the heart of Brookline are the passages of Oak Mine number one. And the mine was owned by the Pittsburgh Coal Company. And the coal was part of the Pittsburgh Coal Seam. It stretched from Pittsburgh, southwest into Ohio and West Virginia, and it was the largest coal deposit in the eastern United States.
Oh, so they didn't actually mine for oak. That's cool.
They did not. I could see where that would throw you, though, where that might be confusing. Hey, two for two. Why not go for a third?
Cool.
Number three. This neighborhood's events and celebrations throughout the year include the Harvest Moon Wine Festival, the Brew Festival, and a music festival.
Millvale.
Wow, correct again. The annual Harvest Moon Wine Festival, I just love that name, held in the fall, as you might imagine, features wine, live entertainment, fresh locally grown food, and a bottomless souvenir logo tasting glass.
Ooh.
There's a lot of adjectives there. Yes. The Brew Festival actually was begun to raise money for recovery from the devastation of the 2004 Hurricane Ivan. But I love this. On their website, it says, stop on by for beer, food, beer, scenic locations, beer, souvenir logo, taster glasses, beer, music, and more beer. Hmm. And bike or kayak to the event to receive a special discount or gift.
Well, my biggest question would be, can I get beer?
You see, they don't clarify. I'm not sure. You know what? I'll Google that and get back to you.
Yeah.
Googling. I'll get Googling. And then the Millvale Music Festival celebrates local musicians in many eclectic venues throughout the neighborhood. And they also have the Harvest Party and the Great Millvale Easter Egg Hunt throughout the year.
Oh, wow.
Millvale is happening. All right, fourth and final. I'm not going to jinx anything. We're just going to roll.
Roll.
Let's do it. In 1909, a gardening program was introduced to elementary school children in this neighborhood, where crops were planted and cultivated by the student population along with some volunteer parents.
Let's go back to Brookline, shall we?
Well done going back to Brookline. All right. Yes. So there was this belief then that children in the now heavily industrialized city of Pittsburgh had lost touch with any practical knowledge of rural activities, right? Like gardening. Mm-hmm. And so the principal of both Brookline and West Liberty Elementary Schools is the one who piloted this program. And he said, quote, "School gardening not only brings material benefits, but gives the youngsters a better knowledge of nature and acquaints them with the problems of the farmer." And the plot was this large plot of undeveloped land. It bordered Wedgemere, Rossmore, Galleon, and Pioneer Avenues, and it measured 273 feet by 372 feet. Mm-hmm. The children tended to the crops in their spare time and during school breaks. And even after the school year ended, the kids continued the gardening program, taking time out from their summer vacation twice a week to work it. And I thought this was so cool. The crops they harvested were used for school lunches, with the excess either sold to local merchants or donated to local food kitchens.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you call that farm to table?
You certainly would. Mm-hmm. Via Ridge Farm to Table, 1909.
Farm to cafeteria, I guess.
Yeah. That's more accurate. Don. 4 for 4.
I don't question it either. Sometimes these things just happen.
Yeah, and you just have to say thank you, universe, and keep going.
Some men are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them.
Which one are you exactly?
That's your quiz.
Next time, onions are good.
Cliffhanger. Nice.
Well, as always, thank you for playing.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
And now here is my conversation with Jen Saffron of Sprezzatura. And, you know, the more we talked, the more I was just filled with gratitude for all of the helpers out there. Take a listen.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I'm well.
Good. It's nice to hear your voice.
You too.
Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on and joining us. Well, yeah. So first, you just want to tell us a little bit about yourself and then we can get into.
Sure. My name is Jen Saffron and I'm a lifelong artist, a visual and performing artist. And after 25 years in the arts, I decided I wanted to pursue another dream of mine, which was I always wanted to have a community cafe where people could come and belong and eat some of the delicious foods that I ate growing up in an Italian-American family, a close-knit family, the kinds of things that we ate. And on top of that, I had this wild notion that we could actually do that in a sustainable way and in a way where our small business could be a partner in a community. And so I took a class because I realized I know how to cook all kinds of things, but I don't know how to run a food-related business at all, and I don't know what to do. I don't know. I didn't even know. We were in this class. I was like the dumbest person in the class. I would sit in the back. I was so embarrassed about what little I knew about food business, and I just kept learning, and New Sun Rising ran the class, and it was a business incubator class, and at the end of which they said, hey, you know, we're going to buy this Moose Lodge and convert it into a model of sustainable development, and we're going to have a solar roof, and we're going to do all this stuff. And I said, wait a minute, are you serious? I totally want to do this. And so I formed a partnership with them, and then 412 Food Rescue, and we created a kitchen here in the former Moose Lodge in Millvale. And out of this, what is now called the Millvale Food and Energy Hub, that's the new name of the Moose. You know, in Pittsburgh, we always say, you know, where the Moose used to be.
And it's like, yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. So I am, you know, I'm in the former Moose. I can't tell you how many people come into the cafe. Well, I mean, nobody's coming in the cafe now, right? Because it's COVID. But people come into the cafe and they were like, oh my gosh, I had my first communion party here in 1975. Or my parents were married here. I mean, it's wild. And we even had a group of older women come, and they get together every month. They were in high school musicals together. And these women are like in their 70s and 80s. And they used to have their after parties at the Moose. They would have like their cast parties. It was really fun.
Oh my God.
I know. They showed me their playbills. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
I love it.
So we've been here for 1 year now as a cafe. We started out as a catering company about 4 years ago. And, you know, I was still working at the Greater Pittsburgh Arts Council as the director of communications. And on the side, I would like make charcuterie platters and make lasagna and make meatballs. And suddenly I realized, you know what? I could do this. And I got up the gumption and the bravery to just jump off the high dive and go for it. So we're now in Millvale. And even throughout COVID, we've been producing all of the things we love to eat and share with our friends and family.
I noticed there's actually one item on your menu. And of course, listeners, you must go and look. I mean, it's going to make you hungry as you read the menu, as it did for me, deciding on this day, I'll get this. I'll come back the next day and get this. But there's one item on there called A Child's Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was hoping you could tell us more about that.
Sure. I mean, we got our chops cooking large meals for people who need them. So I started cooking large meals in my progressive church on the north side. And then from that, we began making large meals for the Northside Common Ministries for men who live in the Pleasant Valley shelter there. And we still do it. And that's 17 years later, we're still doing, you know. So
wow,
our roots really come from the idea that everybody's welcome to the table. And, you know, eating well, it's not a luxury. Like the concept of the foodie movement, whatever, you know, to me is a little exclusionary and not very interesting, or creating a high-end restaurant, not interested. What I am interested is people can come here and eat a hearty meal and feel nourished and be able to afford it and know that they're buying food that grew in the North Hills or, you know, in New Bethlehem, PA, and supporting Pennsylvania farmers, organic growers, and that we commercially compost and we pay living wages. And we also contribute to the community. We're in a community context. You know, small businesses and large businesses too exist within the framework of communities that have existed long before the business showed up. And we're actually guests, you know, in a way, right? So there's that idea that, you know, by taking a look around at what's happening here in Millvale, especially since Millvale is a designated eco district, that we can think about our own contribution to making things better for everybody. Because when things are better for our neighbors, they're actually better for everybody. It's like, it doesn't take much to offer a quart of meatballs to Chuck, who lives down the street in, you know, a house that's falling down and he needs a little help. So that's one thought, like small gesture. And then there's sort of larger gestures. So it's like, one thing that drives me crazy is when people contribute something and then it's just like a one-off. It's like, oh, you know, I did that and I feel better about myself. I think what's more meaningful is, oh, what do what do I really care about? What is an authentic contribution that we could be making on a regular basis? You know, the Boys and Girls Club here in Millvale, which is called the Northern Area Boys and Girls Club, you know, they serve about 50 kids a day. There's only 3,700 people who live in Millvale. And, you know, these youth or these young people need a safe place to go after school where they can be fed, where they can do their homework, where they can feel supported and have fun, where they can be with their friends. Of course, since COVID times, this has been really challenging, right? And really, what I keep thinking about is Christmas and the holiday season is for children. It's for kids. You know, we don't need anything. You and I don't need anything, really. Do we really need one more pair of socks? We don't. So the idea is Boys and Girls Club equipped their members with art supply boxes to take home in order to do some of the take-home activities that they had created in lieu of being able to meet after school at the club. And, you know, since they passed them out, I'm sure you can imagine, those little pencil boxes went home and the pencils broke and the crayons got dull and, you know, somebody's sibling used something and now the pencil box is kind of empty and boring. And so our idea, you know, as parts of tour, we're all artists. I just told you that, right? So all of us, you know, we all know each other through the arts. And so it's like, well, wow, wouldn't it be great if we could just sponsor 40 kids to get a pencil box filled with awesome art supplies that they could take home. And then over the holiday, they could actually have fun. They could make stuff, you know, that's what we're doing. And so people are actually buying it. So it's just a thing that you buy on our menu. So it's $15 and that underwrites one child. Our goal is 40 children. We have about six kids that have been sponsored so far. And, you know, we just put the word out and we're really excited about it. Because usually what we do is on Tuesdays, we always used to bring meals over to the club, but there's nobody there right now. So
I know when I saw that on the menu, I was just so struck by it. And so when you were talking about the food on Tuesdays, was that Community Food Tuesday?
Yeah.
You're referring to? Yeah, that you did.
Mm-hmm. So
wonderful.
Community Food Tuesday has sort of morphed and it's really been interesting. So when COVID started, we realized we're open to the public Wednesday through Saturday, and then we have Sunday supper to go. So from Sunday until Wednesday, we're not really cooking much. And there might be things in the refrigerator that could get converted into delicious meals. And so we were just doing that. Like on Tuesday, we'd show up, we'd take a look at what we had, and we would make something really yummy for the kids and bring it to them. Like, even if it's something like spaghetti and meatballs, I don't know one kid that doesn't want to eat a meatball. And they would feel nourished. And a lot of these kids are food insecure. So it's a good thing to get some food in their belly. And then they can focus and do their homework and have fun and feel good about things. And, you know, my boys were raised in the Boys and Girls Club. They went to Sarah Hines' house. They learned so many things there. And especially when I became a single mom, I was thanking God for that place because they could go, they could have fun, they could swim, they could play sports, they could hang out with their friends. You know, so my older son has lifelong friends from that place. Good thing that we can have a community space for people. And we don't want to lose sight of that, even if COVID is a drag and makes us all go to the television.
Yeah, to have this, the work that you're doing and how you've adapted during these COVID times is really inspiring.
Thank you. Because sometimes we feel like breaking down crying. We're like, when is this going to be over?
Yeah. I
know. We just want people back in the cafe having fun.
I know. Oh, it's true.
You go ahead.
No, I was going to say, would you want to share with us the post that you that went up on your Instagram account? Would you want to read it for us?
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to find it.
Do you have?
I might start crying. You should read it because I'll start crying.
Well, when I was reading it, I started tearing up, and I mean, it's just beautiful.
All right, let me go and find it. But while we're doing that, I did want to say, you know, on the topic of fun, you know, there is no shortage of fun when we're visual and performing artists. We can do a lot of interesting, cool things, and we are going to be activating. You know, we live in Pittsburgh; it's cold out, and we are going to be activating probably our parking lot. And we were thinking about doing like a 1-hour stand up on Friday nights from 7 until 8. I know.
People can come, and
we can partner again with other businesses like Tupelo Honey Teas and Lucky Sign Spirits to make hot toddies, and we can pass out toe warmers. Yeah. We are, we really will. We are going to be at the Bloomfield Winter Market too, which I had a blast at. I mean, yeah, it was cold, but you know, selling quarts of soup and quarts of meatballs and being in public and seeing what other interesting businesses are doing is inspiring too. And to support small business is always a yes all day.
Yes. You know? Absolutely.
So we wrote this thank you because it's so hard to thank everybody. I can't. There is so much goodness. Even though we look at like what's happening in the political landscape and it's such a bummer and it's a drag and we can't see our loved ones who live far away, there are so many amazing small gestures. And, you know, I originally wrote this when COVID first started. I come from an Italian family. And so everybody was very concerned about me because we just opened the cafe and they were like, what are you going to do? And I said, you know, I think we're going to make lunch for first responders and we're going to reignite our relationship with the Boys and Girls Club. And we're going to do all these things, you know, and they immediately, my cousins were calling from New England, Chicago, all over, and underwriting meals. And it, you know what I mean? Oh. And it got me thinking about, mm-hmm. how touching that is. And my dad, who's going to be 80, called his fraternity brothers and said, buy Easter dinner from my daughter. He's like, you know, and, you know, from one Italian to the other, it's like, that's not like a you know, he's not asking, you know, he's just telling.
I was going to say, it's not a question. He's just telling. No.
So, let me see if I can. We've lost the art of thanking people is what I really think. And I'm not always great at it myself, but I do think that, you know, here it is. So we just were having a moment of real gratitude as a staff. And we're so, you know, we're so grateful to have our jobs and to still do what we do. So I wrote, hi there. Thank you. Our hearts are filled with gratitude today. And we say, thank you. Thank you for enjoying our food, for bringing us garden bouquets and homemade wine and spontaneously doing the dishes when you don't even work here. Thank you for telling us that your mom loves our food and that she wants to meet us. Thank you for the generous gratuity and for anonymously paying for dinner for a family in need. Thank you for smiling under your mask and asking us how we're holding up. Thank you for posting nice pictures of our specials on social media and sharing our posts and encouraging friends to get takeout. Thank you to the farmers who grow incredible organic things that inspire us and for Jen's mom who brings bundles of herbs from her suburban side patch. Thank you for calling your fraternity brothers. It just chokes me up when I think about it. That's why I said, don't make me read this. Thank you for calling your fraternity brothers from 1959 and asking them to buy dinner and mail checks to charitable organizations we support so that kids can get dinner. They did. Thank you for bringing that almond cake and peach pie to celebrate Jen's birthday and the Prosecco. Thank you for the grant that helped us make over 2,000 meals in solidarity for our hungry neighbors. Thank you for telling us that we're inspiring, even though at that moment we felt like crying. Thank you to our beautiful, reliable, fun, funny staff who make delicious food with dignity, creativity, and heritage. Thank you for giving us a break and for allowing us a little bit more time to pay the bills. Thank you for sharing your interesting schemes and ideas. Thank you for telling us that you can't wait for us to reopen the cafe so that we can laugh together with friends, food, and wine. Thank you to our bankers and our vendors who have called us to check up on us and offer ideas to help us see it through. Thank you for community time, pulling up your camp chair in our gravel driveway for a cup of coffee. Thank you for telling us that our food reminds us of your grandma and having the nerve to ask us to make certain foods that she used to make because you need to feel better during time of COVID. Thank you for being patient when we forgot the salad or made you wait in the car. Thank you for supporting a 100% woman-owned business that in turn allows us to hire people who actually need jobs. Thank you for calling us and letting us know that you pulled up under the marquee because you need a biscotti fix. Thank you for listening to us when we felt like quitting, then made us laugh and get a grip, reminding us that life is for living a beautiful banquet spread before us.
Oh. Thank you for reading that. Thank you
for making me read that.
It's just, yeah, it speaks for itself. And again, I want to thank you for all that you're doing.
Thank you.
And how many lives that you're changing and, you know,
thank you, Tressa. No, thank you. No, there's so many awesome people. I keep telling people what an amazing teacher COVID is and what a connector. We've met so many amazing people. Bonnie DeMott, who's out there in Sharpsburg, opening Second Harvest, this thrift store, got us to make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meals for people. You know, the Aetna Citizens Council, I think is what it's called, their council-sponsored meals for their community. And those kind people passed out 250 pieces of Strata in 20 minutes. I couldn't believe it. I was like, how did that happen? They called me. They were like, well, it's all gone. I was like, okay, wow. You know, so, I mean, the thing that's amazing is in the face of those kinds of statistics, it's very hard to think, wow, am I really able to make a difference? And, you know, I want to encourage anyone who's listening to this podcast to know that whatever it is that you have to offer, it's something that you have to offer. And you never know what that will bring in terms of another person that you might meet that can connect you to even further work that can continue this ripple effect of contributions and connectivity. You know, it's not about charity. You know, we don't need to be reaching down and lifting people up. People are doing the best they can. We need to meet people where they are. And I think that kind of dignity and care is what I've been seeing during this time, and it's been really a privilege to participate.
For more information and to order some of their delicious food, you can go to their website, sprezzaturapgh.com. That information also will be in our show notes. I do also want to mention that if you do want to help someone or a family in need, You can actually underwrite a meal for anyone through Sprezzatura. So for example, you know, you could donate $25 and they will then give a meal to someone in need with, you know, that money. If there's someone in your life who you know needs a break, if somebody's sick or shut in, or if they need a meal delivered, you know, to them at their house, just give the folks at Sprezzatura a call and they will work it all out. And that is going to just about do it for us here. Episode 10 of Yins Are Good. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, be safe, be kind, be good. Special thanks going out to Jen Saffron, Don DiGiulio, and as always for our fabulous artwork, Mike Rubino.